how to live a life full of peace, joy, and fulfillment.
Yes.
And really defining what that looks like to you. Because I know what that looks like for me, and it's living an excellent life instead of a perfect one. The difference, yeah, you know, and the difference being perfection, if you look at the definition, it's meeting or exceeding standards. And, you know, who set those standards? Because I know I didn't. Because if I had, I wouldn't have been so hard on myself, and maybe I wouldn't have had a lot of the health issues that I've had.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, and so now I'm looking at a life of excellence, which has grace built in.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Learned some things on this episode today. I mean, usually I do, but this was different. Lenita had, you could just tell this air of wisdom about her. And I know it's because as I got to know her more and hear her story and how she helps others out of similar tragic overwhelmed burnout, living a life for other people, the rat wheel, all these things that are so connected to my passion for people so that we can live fully alive, fully free, fully in joy, and living a life, as I would say on purpose, she would say a fire, living a life of fire. One of the things that she shared was about practicing presence and how that is connected to our preparation for tomorrow. Mind blown. I'm like, wait, what? You got to tune into the whole context of what it is that we were saying. But I thought, wow, I really have always practiced presence and I am always excited for tomorrow, but I've never thought about how I'm being prepared in that process because we see so many things as granular when God has the big, big picture. Anyway, she's a well of wealth, and I'm excited for you guys to learn from her. She talked about the three things that she most often teaches to when she's on a keynote at the very end. And it's like women being in the room in a male dominant, you know, table, if you will, allyship with men. She talked about truly peace, life, and fulfillment, and how that really was the entirety of our conversation for us to live fulfilled. What does that look like? And what does it require us to do on a consistent basis for God to get the glory versus us to get the glory in our flesh? Because we know that never turns out well. So tune in to Lenita Mitchell Blackwell. She is a gift, and she's a speaker, an author. She was a podcaster, so I'm sure we could find those, but now she's an incredible, incredible guest. So be blessed today. Calling all his mighty messengers to the front lines, to the microphones, to the stages, to the bookshelves, to the digital platforms and beyond. This is Marketplace Ministry, and you are invited to join the movement as a messenger. I'm Tamara Andress, the one on the mic, but I honestly see it as a machete to cut through the lies, declare truth, transform narratives, and catalyze Christians like you and me to speak, write, build, and testify. I'd blow a trumpet right now if I could. This is a clarion call. It's not just time to rise, it's time to vocalize unfiltered, uncompromising, unashamed, and undeniably bold. Together, we will turn your message into a movement, igniting global change, making disciples of nations, and touching the lives of billions by doing business God's way. This is not just another podcast to listen to and get stuck into a knowledge cycle with new information. It's an initiation into a transformative movement where isolated entrepreneurship is no more and the hustle and grind biz building is not welcome. We are operating from Sabbath rest and focused on sustenance, not success. Let's go, y'all. Welcome to the Messenger Movement. today, and I was making sure I said her name wrong, right, not wrong, because everybody says my name wrong too. I get Tamara, Tamara. It's just Tamara. And so Lenita, I love this name. I love who you are. I love your smile. If you guys are listening to the show, you're not going to be able to see her beautiful smile. So you need to make sure, I'm just going to say it right out the gate, that you need to get on her website, get on her social medias, LenitaMitchellBlackwell.com. She's in all the places that you can find her. And today she is on the Fit and Faith podcast. So Lenita, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to get to know you.
Tamara, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
It's going to be fun. All right, you guys, when I was researching, because, you know, that's what you have to do when you have people on your show. You don't just get to like invite them on. You have to say yes. You have to vet them. You have to make sure they're safe for your community. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Yeah. I saw a couple of keywords, and you guys are going to know right off the bat why these keywords made this a fast yes conversation to bring Lenita on the show. How to live a life on fire. Yes, please. Yes. The formula to create a life of peace, joy, and fulfillment. Yes, absolutely. We need more of this. It's not about success always. It's about sustenance first, and to bridge the gap between success and joy. So I need all of this information, all this wisdom. Lenita, tell me how you started in this endeavor and how this became a part of your call.
Absolutely. So I have had a blessed life. I was raised in a beautiful home and community with family and friends who taught me what they knew, which is when you work hard, you will be successful and you'll live happily ever after. Now, I also have a strong faith-based background as well. I'm a fifth generation PK. So wow. God was... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm married to a preacher, too.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So cool.
Oh, yeah. So God was always present, always there. And I was very blessed that my first encounter with Jesus was actually in the fourth grade. So I always knew he was there, always present in my life. Right. So when I was working hard, I knew that was for the glory. Right. So I was never confused about that. What wound up happening, though, is, you know, we're operating in the world and everyone around you is working for success and accolades and recognition. Yeah. And so it's very easy to get caught up in that. And I did. And it wasn't that I didn't feel loved and appreciated. Right. It was just that that's what I was surrounded by. Sure. And so I did a lot of things so that I could fit in, staying up late, getting up early, so that there were some days actually where I was not sleeping at all, saying yes to projects that, although they were positive, were not necessarily aligned with my purpose and the calling that I knew was on my life. And just taking on things that were not mine and learning the hard way that I have access, just like everybody else, to God. And so taking on other people's stuff, their paths was not beneficial to them or to me. But it was not until my health started to fail that I realized that those platitudes are great to say and realize, but you got to actually put some action behind them. And it wasn't until my daughter found me passed out in the middle of the floor from exhaustion. And she was only 6 years old at the time. And I was too tired to put my child to bed. Literally, she put her blanket over me and her pillow under my head and said, "Good night, Mama." And the only thing I had strength to do was to say, "Good night, baby." That was when I knew that something had to change. I had to do something different.
Wow.
But nobody tells you that there is a space between the realization and the implementation of the something different.
Oh, that's good right there.
Well, yeah, because everyone makes it seem like it's just this huge aha moment, life shifts, the thunder clouds part, and then everything is just, right?
It's true.
Yeah, and we see that a lot, particularly when people accept Christ, right? Yeah, particularly later in life. And they expect everything to be different. What has changed is you. You have changed and your perspective has changed. But your circumstances are what they are. And you now know that you're not alone as you deal with them.
Right.
And it took me 2 years to make that transition to realize that I was not alone and to get the help that I needed. And so I started working with a performance coach, Reverend Rowena Silvera Beck. And we took a long, hard look at my life. And she had me list everything I was involved in. And Tamara, it was 7 pages long, single space.
Wow.
Because I was serving on multiple boards. Sure. So, and actually, I was serving as president of 3 different ones at the same time.
Oh, my.
I know. And for any of you who are listening who think, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. I promise you, you are close to that yourself.
Yeah.
Because what Rev Ro had me see is, and particularly as women, right? It's not that you're just a mom. You're not just a mom. You're carpool. And you're the nutritionist.
You're
the stylist and the wardrobe stylist as well, and you are the manicurist.
Yes. I mean, gosh, I love that.
You're doing everything, right?
Yeah.
And so some of those things, they have to fall off. Now, admittedly, when your children are small, you can't just outsource that, right? But as they get bigger, they need to be helping around the house. There's no reason for you to be doing dishes.
True.
There's no reason for you to be doing their laundry. They're teenagers. Yes. You're about to send them off to college. They have to know how to wash their clothes so they don't all come out gray.
That's good. That's so true. I did not have that luxury. And by luxury, I mean, I didn't have the luxury of doing my own laundry. It felt like luxury on the other side of it. But to this day, I had a stain on my daughter's sweatshirt. And I was like, how do I get this out? How does this work? And it's a white sweatshirt. So I didn't want to ruin the white sweatshirt and put it in the house with all the things. So girl, you're preaching. Keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, once I realized that, it took another couple of years to streamline that, to remove things and to have conversations with my colleagues, some friends, to let them know that I would not be able to be all things to all people anymore if I was going to be around to see my daughter graduate. Because I went through a series of progressively worse surgeries. Because of the amount of stress that I had placed on myself, allowed to be placed on me, I developed stage 4 endometriosis, which is the uncontrolled growth of uterine cells outside of the uterus. Now, for most people, it doesn't bother them. Most women don't even know they have endometriosis. I did not fall into that category. Mine was so progressive, it led to a total and complete hysterectomy as well as bowel obstruction. And I still have scar tissue that I live with the complications from that even now. And that was over 10 years ago.
Wow.
So, you know, when I say that priority is being a good mom to my daughter and seeing her off to college, being a good life partner to my husband and growing our ministry, taking care of me so that I can be those things as well as hearing what God has for my life. Yeah. You know, everything else falls by the wayside.
It's
and that
true.
Makes it really
all those
easy.
Roles are full-time roles as they are,
yes.
Right?
Shoot. Oh, yes.
So especially in ministry, because when you're in any genre of ministry, especially alongside your husband co-pastoring, ooh, I've got lots of friends in that role, and I pray for you guys. I pray for you often because you're literally the therapist or the life coach that you just mentioned, the performance coach. Mm-hmm. You are that person for your entire congregation. Now, you can't be, but they think that you are. And so there's certain things like holding space for people, like you mentioned, that I can't be all things to all people, and for boundaries to be drawn and you to understand that it's okay to say no. And so tell us from this, you know, impartation, this personal revival, this revelation into the implementation. You said it was like a 2-year kind of becoming journey. That's kind of the language that I use for grace and also our becoming more like Christ in the process. God, Jesus himself was really good at these things that we're mentioning, by the way. He was really good at boundaries. He was really good at time management. He was really good at telling people no and telling people yes and telling people not right now. And so when we mimic him in that way and we become more Christ-like, a lot of times people think we're being selfish. but it's actually not at all, because we can't even operate in our full calling if we are trying to be all things to all people. Not to mention, you don't even know who you are anymore if you're what they want you to be.
Preach. Yes.
Like, this is the identity check, right? The identity check has to happen. So walk us through kind of a little bit more on behalf of what were some of the things in the lines you additionally had to draw?
So the first one was I had to learn to get enough rest. Mm-hmm. So those all-nighters, that was a thing of the past. No more of that. And that was hard because there were so many things that I was involved in that I really liked, which led to the second thing, eliminating things that were positive that I loved, but were not consistent with what the call was on my life at that point. And I think it's really important for us as believers to make that distinction, because something could be great in 2020, but in 2024, that time has passed and it's time to move on to the next thing. Yeah. And one of the things that made it difficult was my differentiating between what goes and what stays. Because before it was, well, if there's mess involved, that's easy. That's a no, right?
Sure.
But at this point in my life, and when I say this, I mean at that point in time, right, I was not involved in anything messy anymore. You know, I had grown up and was involved in the things that I knew that I was good at and were consistent with my skills, gifts, and talents, right? And so what it came to was making a determination, and this is something that I continue to do now, every 90 days, so once a quarter, I evaluate where my time is going, organizations that I'm serving in, and something has to go. Yep. And something may not necessarily replace that. And that's hard for us because as successful people, people are drawn to you. And when you have the light of God on you, people are just like, you can do this. I mean, yes, yes, I can, but should I? And so that led to the third thing, which is taking everything to the Lord and asking, is this somewhere I'm supposed to be? And when the answer is yes, moving forward, even if there's some trepidation and anxiety, because it's not always going to be easy, right?
Yeah.
But also answering and responding and acknowledging the no. And not questioning it. No is no. That's a complete sentence.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so true.
And so learning to embrace that. And sometimes when God says no, we know why immediately. And sometimes it comes later. Okay. But accepting that where we are in life is exactly where we're supposed to be. And that those responses are direct responses to what we have asked makes it a lot easier to live with, even when there are consequences, because Tamara, everybody who I talked to was not understanding.
Yeah, for sure.
And most people were, I would say 80%, but there were some relationships that had to be severed. I tried really hard not to leave anybody high and dry. Training people to take over for me, giving enough time. That's why it took 2 years. But some organizations just were not trying to hear it. And so I finally had to just walk away.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, folks create a narrative.
Yes. Oh, 100% they do. They want their storyline to be heard, not the opposite, or not the truth often, right? Not the truth.
Yes. And I had to be okay with that too. I mean, people lied on Jesus. What do I think is about to happen here, right?
Yeah, completely. So on the other side of this 2 year, and just like, not that it's over, right? It's a constant pruning. Like you said, every 90 days, it's like, Lord, what do you want me to release? Because we're only making way for more of him when we do that. And I think our natural tendency, especially in American culture, is like more means you're better. More means you're more important. More means, now you're worthy because you've got this whole 7-page rap sheet, right? And it's like, actually, none of those titles matter. And none of them are actually going to go on your tombstone, except for likely child of God, wife, mom, right? And so when we think about that, like what really does matter at the end of days, right? And processing that we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So to be present in our day, requires that our yes of every minute, every breath that we're taking is being poured into a God-ordained place and space rather than a self-created, self-made stage, self-made relationship, right? And I think even networking for me, honestly, Lenita, has been interesting because a lot of people are, oh, can I just have 15 minutes of your time? Oh, I'd love to just pick your brain for a couple minutes on something. Oh, and I'm like, ah, first off, my brain is not meant to be picked. That's not the point of it. It's my brain. I need all of it, right?
I love it. Yes.
And secondly, like, it's exhausting. It's really exhausting to network with new people and constantly have to hold, you know, I guard my heart. You're supposed to guard your heart. And so I want to be open and free, and I am such an optimist. I think everyone is the most amazing person, and they would never hurt me. They would never say anything negative. We would have the most amazing partnership if we partnered together, and to realize that that's simply not the case for everyone, and having a spirit of discernment and actually leaning into the Lord on that. That doesn't just take the 15 minutes of talking. It takes the preparation, getting to the call on finding out who they are and what we're having conversations about and what's my intention. It takes afterwards, it takes prayer and petition to be like, should I navigate a relationship with this person? Should I jump into their, you know, training that they're doing? It's a lot. So I love the way that you're saying that this is a continual pruning process, and it's a continual yes to Christ above all things before a man, a woman, whoever it is that we're having a conversation with. Opportunity, right? Opportunity knocks, they say.
That's what they say, but every door isn't supposed to be open.
That's right. It's so true. So here you are on the other side of like this revelation. You're much more gated in how you say yes and who you say yes to and what you say yes to. How long has it been since like the health endeavor as well?
So that's been 6 years now.
Okay.
And when I mentioned that there are things that I'm just still dealing with, just a couple of years ago, I had to have surgery for scar tissue removal from the hysterectomy. And then that's why I'm saying that, you know, there's always some reminder to me of what I went through before. And so the chances of that happening again are almost zero.
That's good. God will do that, right? He'll give you that limp. Mm-hmm. He'll give you that limp. And I'm so appreciative of, I have many limps. I have many things that I'm like, oh man, not again. But it's his sovereignty. Truly. It's a gift on behalf of, otherwise we would be back in the mess and the muck and the mire and eating with the pigs. That's just our flesh, right? Because that's where we're around. That's what we're exampled for a majority of our life. I love that you, it gives me such hope because I'm a first generation believer. And
oh, wonderful.
Yes. And so I've had the gift of now baptizing my mom, and I've baptized my kiddos. And it's been so cool to watch God move. And at the same time, there's this like hopefulness of, gosh, my grandchildren and my great grandchildren and all of that. And so I love that there's been covering over your childhood, because oftentimes I get people on here and there's like, not that you don't have trauma, everybody has some essence of, you know, a backstory, but it's refreshing to hear the covering that Christ has had on your lineage, on your family for generations, and the abiding quality, right? Again, as you guys are listening, no one's perfect. I'm not calling Lenita and her family perfect, but it's the abiding that there's always fruit. And that's so refreshing. I'm so excited for that for my family.
And the fact that you are the vessel that God is using to pour into, I mean, that is just wonderful. I love that for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And so processing that from the perspective of a mama, as also as a wife, I would love to hear, like, how did they walk out this experience with you, both your children and your spouse, and maybe even your church congregation, as you kind of like, you said some of them talked poorly, had their own narrative, but what about your close family?
So I am so blessed. Like my family, my church family, my friends, they were supportive of me every step of the way. My husband, he is such a wonderful man. He was the one who first noticed that I just was tired a lot. And I did not realize that the tired was above and beyond the sleepless nights, that this was something that I needed to go to the doctor and figure out what was going on, you know? And my daughter, she kind of appointed herself as my little angel, and her name is Angelica. And so she would be with mom like all the time. When I would have events, she was there. She would volunteer. And I think it was more to keep an eye on me, particularly when my husband was traveling and preaching. So there were always these guardrails, and I'm very blessed to have both of my parents still living. My dad, we actually celebrated his 88th birthday on Saturday. It's beautiful. And we have had the opportunity to face all this as a family. And in my church, you know, churches are mostly women, and, most of our church, they're older. So many of them have grandchildren. So many of the things that I encountered, they had encountered when they were younger, and they didn't have the benefit of, you know, the internet. They had close community, which I think sometimes is better.
True.
You know, so true. But I mean, as far as the information to get diagnosis, to get the support.
And I'm
just very, very grateful that they were there and they were so patient and prayerful for me.
So
and even now,
crazy.
You know,
it's so good.
And
I do agree. Like, it's the intimacy, it's the personal relationships that are also supportive and sustaining, and having prayer warriors on the other side of that, right? Like, that's the ultimate healing process, is like you're in prayer and petition, and so are they. And so that communal, just, it's a communal win when you see someone healed. It's a communal opportunity for the church to actually exist as the bride. I feel when there's true celebration on behalf of everyone, right? When you go to a wedding, everyone, well, mostly, most people there are celebrating, right? And you're all on one record, even if there's different perspectives and different people on either side of the family. And so I just think about how celebration in the church body is not often, it doesn't happen often. When someone has a personal revival, they're all like waiting for this big thing to happen. And God's like, there's little personal revivals happening every single day. Can we celebrate that? Can you celebrate my work? Otherwise, we're the complainers we're just circling the wilderness. God, show up for me. God, really, manna again? Like, that is a miracle that manna fell from the sky. Are you kidding me? I am trying desperately, not trying, I'm doing, is to just be cognizant of that daily manna and to let it be proclaimed for other people to take note. You know, a lot of people, especially in the self-help industry, will call it like a daily gratitude practice, right? And yes, and glorifying God with the gratitude, right? And like, because it's Him that's making that happen. You can be grateful for your good hair, but that's not going to last, right? Like, it's God who gave you the good hair. So to go deeper or to go light, we need to have conversations with people about it. And so I think that there's a beautiful conversation in community that can happen if we're vulnerable, we're willing to share, and we're willing to pray, petition, and celebrate the other side of it.
Yes. And you know, you said two things that I think are just really critical for people. First, being able to celebrate the small things, because until or unless you exemplify excellent leadership and stewardship over the small, God cannot give you anything bigger. And the reason He can't is because that would make His word a lie. And that is that He loves us. A person who loves you, it does not overburden you, does not give you something that you are not prepared for. And so until you exhibit mastery over the small, the big won't come. So being grateful for the good hair, for the meal in front of you, for the job that even though sometimes it can wear you down, you have one. And it's not to say that you don't want more. It's saying that you understand that this is a blessing, that you have it, you appreciate it, you've mastered it, and now you're ready to move on to the next
thing. That's so good. What I think about that, as you were saying, was like contentment is not complacency. And I think it's good to be content, but in my contentment, my desires don't go away. My dreams don't get smaller because I'm content today, and the vision doesn't change, and the grandiose of that vision on where I am today. It's just really practicing presence and His presence in the midst of what we're offered, what we're gifted.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about what you do now, because now you're literally serving people out of this place, right? Our testimonies transform us, and then we get to be an agent to help transform others. And so can you talk to us about, like, at what point you took that leap of faith to say, okay, I have mastered this enough to now be able to help other people in the mastery of creating this life on fire?
Absolutely. So in the process of streamlining my life so that I didn't have all these different roles going, and I was able to get the support that I needed so that I could stay in this space of generosity and love, right? That then meant that there was more space, as you said, for God to expand and to show up. And so that meant that I now only had two trains running, and that was my law firm. And I practice estate planning, business law, as well as residential real estate, and my speaking business, which also encompasses my books and coaching. And my coaching is intuitive business coaching. So with those two tracks, I'm able to help people and to serve them as they need. So I can real time just be present. Now, I know a lot of people I don't even know if a lot of people really even understand what that means, because we are taught to always be on the ready with the next response, with whatever is coming next. But we're not really taught to appreciate right now that this time that you and I are together, this is the only time that matters, because without it, tomorrow can't come. Not that it won't, but it can't, because I have not done what is necessary to prepare for that time. So with that being my understanding of the way that I now move, I'm able to work with my clients to give them the best service possible. I'm able to work with them to look at not just what they've come to me for in this moment, but what God is speaking to me about them, and to hear His voice and not shut it down. Because that's another thing as believers, we come into these workspaces and these corporate spaces, and we're basically told to put our spirit on mute.
Yeah, for sure.
That there's no space for that here. And I can tell you right now that that is absolutely not the case. God belongs everywhere. Now, are we necessarily evangelizing everywhere we go? Not verbally, no, but the way that we live and the way that we treat people and love them, absolutely. Because that's really the way that you're going to bring people in. Yeah. And the first way that you do that is to be fully and completely present in the moment so that they know that they are loved. And they know that that love is not you as an individual. So it's not just me, Lanita, but the God that is within that is showing up.
I love that. You said a couple things that I was like, okay, I'm writing it down. Oftentimes I'm just like here and try not to write because I get all the show notes afterwards. But practicing presence is preparing for tomorrow. I thought, whoa, that's so good. My pastor often says that, like, he doesn't have to prepare for a speaking engagement. And I'm learning this more and more that, like, my early, like, super early preparation always gets wrecked. The Lord's always like, yeah, you're not talking about that. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so glad you spent time with me in the Word about that thing, but that's not what they need to hear. That's what you wanted to say.
Yes.
Right? And so he always says that, like, you don't need to prepare for something you've been prepared for. And I'm like, that's so good. So that was amazing. And then also the element of, like, not muting your spirit. Don't mute your spirit. I listened to, Miles Monroe. And he talks so much about the difference between answering to our flesh and our will versus answering to our spirit, and, like, the predominant power that our flesh can have over our spirit when that's what we're feeding. If we're constantly feeding our flesh versus feeding our spirit, it's going to be evident. And so the final piece as people are listening is to understand that you don't have to, even though we're on a podcast and we're talking, I actually just did a 3-day fast on consecrating my words and just really being super mindful of what was coming out of my mouth. I was also with 4 children for 4 days, so that was extra hard. But processing that is like, if we realize that it's so much less about what comes out of our mouth, though our words can speak life and speak death, but more about what if today you were quiet? What if today you didn't have an opportunity to speak? What would people say about your life? How are you leading in love? How are you showcasing joy? It's not always about like throwing the Bible at people or I have a verse for you, though I love those things. It, people who are far from God don't receive those things. And so we have to be in the generosity power. Like you said, you're such a giving person. Generosity is not a common worldly practice. So if we are practicing generosity, they're like, what? Why are you giving this to me? What's your agenda, right? And you're like, nothing. Yes. You just need to know that God loves you. God told me, highlighted you to me, and I just wanted you to have it. And it'll wreck people, y'all. It will really wreck people. But if we aren't doing what you said at the beginning, practicing presence, we're going to zoom right by that person who has tears in their eyes and they're checking you out at the counter. You're going to zoom right by the homeless person. You're going to zoom right by all of the people. And it's not even just the least of these. It's all of us. We all need to be reminded that God sees us and he loves us. And so I just think it's so imperative for us to not just look to humanity as something that can serve you, right? He came not to be served, but to serve. And that is our intention as disciples, as Christ followers.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So you've had so many microphones in front of you. You've had so many stages presented to you. When you are on the mic or somebody invites you for a keynote, obviously knowing that God's going to show up some amazing way, Holy Spirit will guide. What are some of the main things that people are requiring or requesting, saying, hey, can you talk about this? Because our congregation or our community or our business or our execs need this. What are some of the things that you've fallen into as a kind of a repetition that people need?
So the first thing is women in leadership. And one of the things that I really love about that is the understanding that having more women in the room invites more empathy and compassion and service and love. And it's not to say that our men do not have those qualities.
Sure.
Not at all. I'm married to a great man who checks all of those boxes. But there is something about when we add women, the feminine energy, into the room where we can have these conversations. We are thinking of the world in a more holistic. And so we're thinking about the family. So it's not just who is in the room right now. We're thinking about the impact of whatever is about to have on our children, how it's going to impact how we navigate our homes and our communities, how we're serving our church. There are just certain conversations. If any of you have been to a zoning meeting and the people who come to the mic, I have been in there in the capacity of a community member, and I've been there in the capacity of an attorney representing interests. And how we speak in those two different ways is very different. Mm. When I'm there as a community member, I'm talking about how whatever they're trying to do. Like they were trying to put a liquor store on the corner in our neighborhood. And I'm just like, first of all, it's within 300 feet of the school. So that's a big no, right? Wow. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I had the whole list of how this does not exemplify or edify the community at all, right? Then it was even preparing for that meeting. I went to not just my neighbors, but I went to the churches that were all around. And I was like, pastors, I need y'all to show up strong and hard. So and they did.
Good.
Right? Whereas when I'm coming in the capacity of an attorney in somebody's interest, that's the only reason that I'm there.
Yeah, it's good.
And we do not give enough credit, I think, to how we are leading without the title. Because when I was showing up just as a member of the community, as a mom, as a wife, right? I didn't have a title. I was just Lenita. Sure. But I was able to mobilize a lot of people because I was there for love.
That's good.
And so I was there for love. For what I felt that God had placed in my heart was in the best interest of all involved, not just the person who owned the organization that wanted to put the liquor store there.
Right.
Just think about that. Still just like burns my biscuit.
You're like, who are you? Where do you live? Who raised you? Where's your mama? I'm going to tell on you.
Exactly. The second thing that has just been more recent is allyship with men. Specifically, I just actually did an engagement on Friday night with Comcast. I was a panelist on how men can be more allies, and more supportive in mentorship for women in corporate. But, you know, I expanded the conversation to be, this is more than just upward trajectory at work, right? This is also helping get them on boards. This is also diversifying the pipeline for your vendors and who provides services to your organization. We don't necessarily think of those things, but again, this is why we have to have women in the room to have these conversations, because it started very narrow and then it grew.
Yeah, that's so powerful. Yeah. Yeah. And these are like those, even just the two of those topics aren't something that's commonplace. I have never heard of anybody talking about allyship between men and women in that context. Now I have a lot, and my husband and I talk about this often. I have a lot of male mentors because I don't see a lot of women doing or blazing a trail in the location that I want to go, in the direction I want to go. And I think that that's a very big problem for women on the rise in the marketplace. And I think it's important for us to have open conversations and to be helping those behind us. But it's also knowing that the men who have poured into me have been such agents for growth for me. And yet I don't want to stay limited to I can only learn, or only the guys have the right answers, right? I found the wisdom really is, there's so much wisdom that has, like you said, encompasses the totality of me as a human, of my family for generations, that men just, they're like, what's your numbers? Like, they're like so, and it's not bad. They help me so much, but the totality of our human experience, of our spirit, is what's way more important, and not the priority to a majority of men. And I'll just say majority because we know our men are amazing, and they are.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And then the last, which is the thing that brought us together, is how to live a life full of peace, joy, and fulfillment.
Yes.
And really defining what that looks like to you. Because I know what that looks like for me, and it's living an excellent life instead of a perfect one.
That's it.
The difference, and the difference being perfection, if you look at the definition, it's meeting or exceeding standards. And, you know, who set those standards? Because I know I didn't, because if I had, I wouldn't have been so hard on myself, and maybe I wouldn't have had a lot of the health issues that I've had.
Yeah, that's so good.
And so now I'm looking at a life of excellence, which has grace built in.
Yes.
And so that means that no matter what goal I've set, I know that there has to be some flexibility and some room for change. Because when I set a path for myself, I've prayed over it. I've asked God if this is the right thing to do. But things might need to shift depending on who I am sitting in front of at that moment. Just like you were talking about, we can't just blaze past people when we see that they're in need.
Yeah.
Now, we may not be the person to help them because we might not have the requisite skills to do so, but to just leave them there and not try to do anything, that is not exemplifying love at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so powerful. One of the things I always talk about, like progression over perfection, right? And you're just constantly in that space. And I think you mentioning that excellence has an air of grace. It also goes back to practicing presence, which we talked about before, because you can only be so excellent today And tomorrow you get to be more excellent because you experienced today in the fullness of what it was being offered. And so just think it all ties together. And I'd never thought about how practicing presence and excellence go really hand in hand. But they really do. And it was just represented to me in this conversation as you were sharing.
Well, I am glad because one of the things that I get pushback on a lot when we're talking about the excellence versus perfection conversation is the fact that, but these are the things that helped you to become who you are. I mean, you're an attorney and a CPA and a speaker and all these other things. And I sit quietly and respectfully and I let them finish. And then I go through the fact that God could have accomplished all those things if I had just allowed him to be the one driving and not the ever hungry animal that recognition and accolades becomes, because it's never enough. Wow.
Right.
You know,
no,
you're always feeding the beast. It reminds me of Little Shop of Horrors with that plant, feed me Seymour. That's exactly what's going on. And it's feeding off blood. And that's exactly what was happening to me.
And I think burnout, especially in entrepreneurship and also in faith. And I say that not in context of like true spirit-led faith, but like faith by works that a lot of people are still operating out of. Like that's the religious spirit that needs to be broken off of the church and the bride, because that religious spirit is going to put us into it's already represented that there's burnout, right? Burnout. There's masses of exodus of pastors happening daily. There's mass exodus of congregations because of something that a pastor or even somebody in their congregation did. The whole, I'm going to air quote because I don't really like to use the language anymore, but church hurt, which is just people hurt. The church did not hurt you. People in the church hurt you. So God's church is still perfect and he's coming back for a perfect church. And so understanding that allows people, again, to operate in grace. But when we are so focused on perfectionism as a religious body rather than excellence as a spiritual body, let's go. That's where revival happens.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And when we revive, we're able to work a smile on our face, a real one, not that plaster thing that many of us learn to do.
That is so true. And that is so my story. So those people listening who've read my book, they know that I am like, I wore the mask and I wore it well, but man, it cost me a lot. And I will say the cost of laying my life down for the Lord hurt way less than it did me wearing that mask. And it just is the case.
Now that's a whole word you just said. That's a whole word.
It did. His yoke is easy and his burden is light and his fruit is plentiful. And everything I was ever going after in my own accord and my own flesh with that plastered smile, I don't even know that person anymore, but I know how she felt. And so this conversation is for that woman or that man who is living that life now. And I'm just prayerful that it's not falling on deaf ears. It's not falling on closed off hearts, but instead an invitation to know that you can live a life of peace and joy and sustenance. And it's going to be so rich in the process, so much more rich than, you know, riches of the world provide.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Lanita, I know you've got the books and the speaking opportunities. You've got a blog. Where is best for people to find you? What's your favorite social media outlet?
Well, so the best place to find me is actually my website, which is, as you already called, my LanitaMitchellBlackwell.com, spelled LYNITA. And from there, we can connect on every social media. Well, it feels like it, known to man, right? So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Let's just connect.
It's so good. And your website is so good. You guys have to go check it out because there's so much there and you can really see all these different places that she shows up in the thing that meets you the most, the articles, the features, the blog. It's so great. And girl, you can take a killer photo shoot. You've got some style. Oh my goodness. I'm like, yes to that white suit. Yes to those shoes. And you got to get your hands on her books. I know that they're going to be brilliant because this conversation has been just that. I bless you, friend. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your husband and your children and just the congregation that has stood at your side, because that is a rare find. And so you said blessed right out the gate, and surely you are.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for being here. You guys, be sure to tune in to all things Lenita Mitchell Blackwell. I know I am. Bye. Hey, y'all, it's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guest, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you might even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and this is going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Faith Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out. And thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.